The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
When most of us think about the concept of reaping what we sow, I think all too often we tend to think of this in the negative sense, right? I mean, we need to realize, we come to realize there are penalties for our foolishness or for our sins. Yet we also need to realize it is not all negative. In fact, if you actually do a biblical topic study on this particular concept of reaping what we sow, the Bible concept is intended to be positive, not negative. I have entitled this message today, Reaping What Has Been Sown. It's not just straight reaping what we sow. It is reaping what has been sown. As we continue to examine ourselves for the upcoming Passover and God's spring holy day season, I'd like for us to consider this biblical principle as it applies to our lives, as well as it applies to the lives of others that we come in contact with. Let me show you what I mean. Go with me, if you would. Please go with me to the book of Galatians, chapter 3, Galatians chapter 6. Please go with me to Galatians 6, verse 7. Galatians 6 and verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh shall reap from the flesh corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit shall from the Spirit reap eternal life. And so I think from just reading these two verses, we can see there is a promise of blessing for sowing what is good, and that's in the spiritual sense. Whereas there's also a warning against sowing for what is corruptible or in the flesh. In other words, it's where are we focusing? This is what this is talking about. I think we all understand life is filled with choices. We also all understand that we all make choices every day that are going to affect us in everything we do. And that means our everyday choices are important as they have an impact on our lives, both in this physical life in which we live and also in the kingdom of God. Not only do they affect us, they also have an effect on others in exciting and in powerful ways, whether we see it immediately or not. I mean, isn't that what we just read here in Galatians 6, verses 7 and 8? The answer is yes, it is. That's what we just saw. Now, it's not the words that it says, but that's what we're seeing. God is not going to be mocked, or he is not going to be ridiculed. He is not going to be scorned. This law of reaping what has been sown, this law is going to stand to either be a blessing or a curse, depending on how we choose to live our lives. And as I've already stated, is going to affect our lives, but it is also going to have an effect on others. This message that I'm giving you today, I am in no way intending to make this some type of intimidation or threat to try and force any of us to make wise choices. Do I want us all to make choices? Of course I am. But instead of trying to be a force or an intimidation, it is intended to motivate all of us to make wise choices because it's going to have an effect on us. Choices are going to have an effect on us and they're going to have an effect on others. And I want to keep getting that point across. Please understand, when we do not make choices, well, I'm just not going to choose. from God's perspective, that is making a choice. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and your seed may live. He's forcing us. He wants us. He's encouraging us. He's telling us, choose. And then he goes on, he says, but the one I want you to choose, of course, is life. But he gives us the choice. And he makes it very plain. And those choices, whether we're choosing life or not choosing life, is going to affect us and our children, our offsprings. And it should be obvious to all of us. The choice he wants us to make involves living the way of life he desires for us to live. And that's the way of choosing life. That choice has the best results on us and on others we love and we care about. Now, if you would, please go with me to the book of Ephesians, back over to the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 5. We'll begin reading in verse 15. I'm going to read these verses from the New American Standard Bible. Ephesians 5, verse 15. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation or botchery, as it says in the King James and in several other translations. And a couple of translations, it says, because that is corruption. But be you filled with the Spirit. He's telling us choices. And the topic is reaping what we sow. Now go with me to the book of Psalm. Psalm 90 and verse 12. 90 verse 12. Again from the New American Standard Bible. So teach us to number our days. Listen to this B part. That we may present to you, that we may present to God a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our days. This is talking about making wise choices, because we're going to reap what we sow, and so do our offspring, so do other people that we come in contact with are going to benefit, good or bad, from what our choices have been. From that, I think that it's a good time to ask a question. Why do we need wisdom? Well, simply, to put it as simply as we can, so we can make wise choices. There's a lot more reasons, but in the context of this message, is so that we can make wise choices. Think about it this way. All life comes from predecessor life. In other words, what came before us. All life comes from life that preceded us. Right? We didn't have anything to do with our forefathers, with our grandparents, or even with our parents in that sense. And all of that comes from the labor and sowing of others, because it came from those that were before them, and who was before them, and who was before them. What I'm saying is, what we reap was planted naturally. In other words, just happened. It just came along, whether it would be physically or purposely, whether it be from God or by man. And it was done either positively or negatively. The results were either positive or negative. Did we have any choice in those, what was done prior to us? The answer is no. No. The fact is, I mean all humanity, whether we're believers or whether we're not believers, if we're just human beings living on the face of the earth, all humanity reap the fruit of much for what we have given no labor to begin the labor. We didn't have anything to do with it. The reason is, of course, is because we entered into the labor of others, whether it was for good or whether it was for bad. Therefore, this topic of reaping what has been sown has both a positive and a negative side. So I wanted to take a glimpse, not an in-depth study, but a glimpse at both of these sides. And I want to start with the positive side. Although we are beneficiaries of much for what we have performed no labor, we still have the privilege of entering into the labor of others, whether it be God or whether it be man. So let's look at some blessings we have reaped because of what God has done on our behalf. And I have two major points, and I have numbered them. Number one, the blessings of common loving kindness. Let me explain what I mean by using the term common loving kindness. First of all, most people, including believers, confuse mercy and grace or loving kindness. This word loving kindness is just simply another word for the biblical word grace that most people, too many people, even in the church, do not really understand it. So if I use loving kindness, we may be able to get a little better glimpse of what this word is talking about. Even though these two words, mercy and grace, or for our term here, loving kindness, they do have similar meanings, even though they do not mean the same thing. So let me try and summarize it this way, meaning the differences this way. Mercy is God not punishing us for our sins. And we all know that our sins deserve punishment. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all understand. We all understand. But mercy is God not punishing us for our sins. Second point under here, mercy is deliverance from judgment. Now, I know this is a big concept, and I'm just making this real tight little points here. The next thing, grace, or the word that I'm using, loving kindness, is God blessing us despite the fact that we do not deserve it. You're going to say, well, isn't that the same thing? The answer is no, it's not. No, it's not. One is he didn't kill us, and the other was he's blessing us anyway. The second one under here is grace or loving kindness is extending kindness to the unworthy. Who are the unworthy? All of us. All of humanity. My intent for using this term is for us to realize that all humanity receives common, everyday loving kindness from God. Undeserved. In this context, it has nothing to do with whether we're in the church or not. There is a difference extended to people in the church and not in the church, but that's not part of this topic. We're still dealing with this topic of reaping what has been sown. God has sown things that all of us don't deserve it. None of us deserve it. We all receive it. Go with me to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 45. Matthew 5 verse 45. That you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and he sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Now, what in that verse tells us that we're part of the church, we're the good, that we deserve this rain. Had nothing to do with that. It shows God's goodness, God's loving kindness for all of mankind. Psalm 145 and verse 9. Psalm 145 verse 9 says, "The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works." We're all, mankind, are over a part of his works. Scripture says we are his workmanship. Now, so what you see, brethren, is God is compassionate toward all humanity, whether they realize it or not, or for that matter, whether they ever give him thanks for the blessings that he has bestowed upon them. It really makes no difference. In fact, every good gift comes from God that we receive. We, meaning all of us, all of mankind. Go with me to Acts 17, verse 24. Acts 17, verse 24. Acts 17, verse 24. "God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwells not in temples made with hands." It's just setting up who God is. "Neither is worship with men's hands as though he needed anything." He didn't set it up that he had to be worshiped. He doesn't need us. Just the very fact that we exist is part of this common, everyday grace or loving kindness from God. Seeing, he gives to all, and the all there is not referring to the church. It's referring to every person, to everyone. He gives to every person life and breath and all things, and has made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Now, there's a lot more to this verse than we're talking about. But he created all things for everyone, with life and breath and all things. Verse 27, "that they should seek the Lord." Now that's what he wants. But is he forcing anyone? No. "If haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we," now who is this we? All. "In him we live and move and have our being." And then Paul goes on here and says, "a certain also of your own poets have said, for we are all his offspring." He says, even your poets understand this, you know, that this is what God has offered to everyone. Now, the second blessing that we have reaped because of what God has done on our behalf is, so number two is the blessings of saving loving kindness, offering us salvation. Remember, loving kindness is God blessing us despite the fact that we do not deserve it. Remember, you have to keep that in mind. Matthew chapter 22. 1 in verse 37. Matthew 21, verse 37. "But last of all, he sent unto us his son, saying, they will reverence my son." Now that's his intent. That's the bottom line. That is what everyone is going to need to do. But let's read this other verse that we all know and lay this to rest, that this saving salvation, the blessing of saving loving kindness. John 3, verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That is the ultimate example of true saving grace or loving kindness. And it's offered out because he loves all of mankind. He didn't single us out to the church. Because what we're seeing, brother, is regardless of mankind's lack of thankfulness, God has given man the greatest gift of all in his Son, who became man, that we might have life by faith in him. That is another topic altogether. Now, both of those points, we could do several sermons on either one of them, and I understand. But let's move on. So let's see some blessings that we reap because of what others have done in our behalf. And we need to remember, it can be either good or bad. Go with me to John 4, verse 35. John 4, verse 35. John 4, 35. Say not you, there are yet 4 months, and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to the harvest. And he that reaps receive wages and gathers fruit unto life eternal, that both he and the sower both that he that sows and he that reaps may receive together. And here is that saying true. One sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and you are entered into their labors. What this is saying, this is talking about, this is a big topic about the church. It's supposed, needs to be out there putting forth things so that other people can reap the knowledge and the understanding that we have been given. Now, that's the big part of it. But I'm narrowing it down to the fact of we are beneficiaries. We receive things because others have labored in the knowledge of the truth, and we've been the beneficiaries of it. Well, others have also been beneficiaries of it because we have labored. And so they're receiving it. Remember, the topic here is what others have done that we have reaped from their labor. So I think we all need to realize not only are we blessed because of what God has done on our behalf, we also are blessed because of what others have done on our behalf. Jesus' statements here in John 4 are based on this general principle of life, reaping what has been sowed. Others sowed it, we've reaped it, we're the beneficiaries of it. Now, more to it than that, but that is what it is saying. Others have labored, and we have entered into the blessings of their labor. Now, I think that if we did an honest assessment study of our civilization, I mean here in this country, we would have to admit that the blessings that we have received, and I mean blessings such as, not limiting to this, but our blessing of freedom, the blessing of law, the blessing of caring for the suffering, the blessing of caring for the poor and the needy, are all byproducts of early Christianity. In other words, what came before us. And also, of course, our godly heritage, which God wanted this nation to receive these things, which again is another bigger topic. There's an interesting story. I like to collect these stories and then I pull them out and use them when I can in certain topics. The old saying is, it has been said that the Spanish came to settle South America in search of gold. But North America was settled by the Pilgrim Fathers who came in search of gold. But North America was settled by the Pilgrim Fathers who came in search of God. And that is the real difference. You look at South America, you look at North America, especially the United States and Canada. our wealth, our benefits, just being a person living here is so different than that of South America. The reason they were. I understand it was God-driven. It was from God's intent. I understand it, but this is an interesting statement. So as believers, we need to ask, do we realize the far-reaching implication of our choices on the lives of others, such as our children, our other family members, our friends, our co-workers, our neighbors? Because you see, brethren, when we teach the Word of God as an example to others, this point that we are blessed by what others have done is being stressed. Reaping what others have sown, as well as the point that we can be a blessing to others. God has blessed us, others have blessed us, and we have also blessed others by what we have sown. Here I'm talking about the Word of God, the truth. In John 13, in verse 15, Jesus stated, "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." Now, that's the Passover, this part of the foot washing. We reap a blessing from following his example by doing the foot washing. Now, what that is not part of this message, but we reap a blessing because of that. He sowed it. We reap blessings because we do. And that's what he says. "I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 7. 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 7. "So that you are examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia." I'm going to read two other places. 1 Timothy 4 verse 12. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12. "Let no man despise your youth, but be you an example of the believers in word," and says in conversation, it is in conversation, but it also is in conduct, and charity, and spirit, and faith, and purity. We're to be an example to others. We sow this as part of our way of life. Others can be blessed as a result of it if they follow the examples. We're setting the example. This is what it's saying. Titus 2 and verse 7. Titus 2 and verse 7. "And all things showing yourself a pattern of good works and doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity." Others can reap because what we have already sown. They can see it and they can live by it because we set a pattern. We set an example. This is what it's saying. So what we need to understand and realize is being a good role model is a form of sowing that can result in reaping God-like changes in the lives of others. That helped us to come to this place because of those who went before us. Now I want us to take a glimpse at the negative side. First of all, let's understand. We not only enter to the blessing God has given, but we also reap the results of the wrongs that others have sown, both before we ever were and those that are still going on around us. Let me give you here 3 points. Show what I mean. Number one, we all reap the sin of Adam. And we have all passed that along to our children. To illustrate this, go with me to Romans 5 and verse 12. Romans 5 and verse 12. "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." It was passed on to us. It was sown. We reaped it. And then we sow it and reap it. And then those who come after, they reap also. And this is the negative side of this. Number two, we reap a certain amount of wrong inherited from our parents. Now, I'm not picking on parents. That's not the point. We could say of anyone who came before us, any forefather, but I'll show you this way. Psalm 58 and verse 3. And I read this from the NIV. Psalm 58 verse 3. Even from birth the wicked go astray. From the womb they are wayward, spreading lies. The third point is we reap the wrong of foolish and corrupt leaders and also the consequences of a decaying society. What the leaders have done, the corrupt leaders have done before us, where they sowed it, we're reaping the negative benefits or results of it. And also the same of what's going on around us even today. Now, if you're writing notes, you can put this in and read this later. I'm not going to read all these verses now, but Isaiah 2, verse 5 through chapter 3, verse 15. But we are going to read chapter 2, starting in verse 6, 6 through 9. And I'm going to read this again from the NIV. Isaiah 2, verse 6. You, Lord, have abandoned your people, the descendants of Jacob. They are full of superstitions from the east. They practice divination from the Philistines and embrace pagan customs. Does this sound like our culture today, our society today? Yep. Their land is full of silver and gold. There is no end to their treasures. Does that sound like our country today? Yes, it does. Their land is full of horses. There is no end to their chariots. Are you going to do... We could talk about this right now because of the people coming in today. There were these chariots were full on the highways all around us. They're all cars, but it's the same thing. Next verse. Their land is full of idols. They bow down to the work of their hands, to what their fingers have made. So people will be brought low and everyone humbled. Do not forgive them. The actual literal Hebrew translation of that is, do not raise them up. The wickedness is so bad. This includes, often includes, the judgment of God on a society. Past, present, and future. I mean, just think about considering what is happening in our cities across our nation now, in our lifetime, right now. I know we could all, you know, we could, you know, speak up and say, yeah, but things are getting better, or things are going to get better. No, they're not. Not as God talks about it. We may have reprieves here and there, but they're not getting better. They're going to get worse. That's what prophecy shows us. Romans 2 and verse 5. Romans 2 verse 5. NIV. But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath when his righteous judgment will be revealed. That's the indictment of our society in which we live. That's the indictment upon all the world. This is what mankind is going to reap. Yeah, a lot of the leaders before, they did a lot of this stuff. It got set up, and we can blame a lot of them, but we followed in their path. And so we're reaping what we're sowing, what was sown. What if God tarries, doesn't come as quickly as we want him to? What do you think that's going to do? This is going to have a great effect upon all of us. Whether we're still around or not, whether we're waiting in the grave for the resurrection, our children and our grandchildren after us, they're going to be in all of this mess. So let's be realistic. Our nation was willing to settle for what I have labeled this as a no-win policy in Korea. Therefore, we settle for a lose-the-war policy in Vietnam. And with the Islamic radical terrorist faction going on in the world today, it is not getting better. So what I'm thinking is the next step is to settle for no contest right here at home. Beyond 9/11. Worse than 9/11. That's where I see it going. Are there going to be some reprieves? Yeah, it's going to have to be. Because it'll all be over quicker than God wants it to be. Is it all going to get over? Yeah. Is it all going to go down? Yes. The call of mankind is going to reap what man has sown. I mean, just think about it this way. We are already reaping the consequences of living beyond our means. More and more people are in heavier debt. And I know there are things that are look like is going to give some people some relief. That'll be a good thing. Whatever it is, it's going to be short-lived. We're already reaping the benefits of deficit spending in the United States. We're not where we were economically several years ago. It is only going down. And then it kind of stops because we want it to go back up. And that's all that it is. Nevertheless, having said that, as a nation, whatever we do is wrong. And the reason is because as a people, we are wrong both morally and spiritually. We're not looking to God. Deliver us from my evil. Forgive me. We're not doing that as a nation. As a nation, we have forgotten that God, He takes the top off of cities and He looks in. What does He see? Disgraceful things of the God who made them. That's what He sees. That's what He sees. What a shame. Let me ask you, do you recognize the name Edward Gibbon? In 1787, after 20 years of research and writing, he completed a book. The book is entitled The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire. Perhaps some of you have heard of it. Perhaps some of you have even read it. This was the book, when I was in school, that opened my eyes to how bad it really is in the world. In this book, he attributed the fall of the Roman Empire to five major problems. He said there are others, but these are the five major ones that have caused their downfall. This is an empire that was top in the world for 1,000 years. They made major changes in the world, and we still reap some of the positive benefits as well as some of the negative benefits. I want to list these five for you. Number one, the rapid increase of divorce. He says this is the number one is because it is the undermining of the dignity and the sanctity of the home, which is the basis of all human society. And in this, he included the legalization of homosexual rights and marriages. It was the number one reason for why the Roman Empire fell, when they legalized homosexual relationships, homosexual rights, and homosexual marriages. They had it. It was part of their culture for a long time. When they legalized it, it went down. Number two, higher and higher taxes and the spending of public monies for the free bread and circuses for the general populace. We call that welfare. Number three, these are right out of his book. I mean, number three, the mad craze for pleasure. And he goes on and he says, every year, sports becoming more exciting and more brutal. Now I've gone to meddling, right, when we get into talking about sports, you know. Number four, the building of gigantic armaments, defense mechanisms. And he says, when the real issue, the real enemy was within the people, within ourselves, the self-indulgence of the people. If we as a society drop to our knees and prayed and fasted as a people, what do you think God would do? If we really meant it. We better build up the armaments. We better build up our military. We're not relying upon God to take care of us. And number five, the decay of religion. He said faith was fading into a mere form, losing touch with life and becoming impotent to warn and guide the people. Now, does this look like our society today? Yeah, we've done all five of these things. All five of these things are describing our culture today, the country that we live in. But then I'm showing these things because we need to be doing what we can while we can. We saw some of the things that we're to be doing. We read about them. We need to be doing what we can while we can. And yes, at the same time, we leave the results with God, knowing that our labor is not in vain. And as part of the body of Jesus Christ, we're not all doing the same thing, but we're all to be doing whatever it is that we can do as a person, as an individual, as a family, and as a group, as a congregation. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. But by the grace of God, undeserved loving kindness. Right? By the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was within me. Verse 58, drop down to verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Whatever our part of the labor is, we're to be doing. Also knowing, meaning what we do, has important implications on others. So let's realize, some believers may be involved in the sowing. Some may be involved in watering. Others may be involved in the reaping. And at the same time, it is also knowing that God is in work, bringing the increase according to His purpose. We do all these things, but God's the one who gives the increase. But we do have a part. We do have a part. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 6. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that plants anything, neither he that waters is anything, but God that gives the increase. It's about God. It's all about God. Yes, He tells us to do. We do. So we see, as believers, we have a major part in this reaping what has been sown for ourselves as well as for others. And I think, brother, any way we look at it, as believers, we have been called to a high standard of looking out for others. Well, that's not my job. Well, yeah, it is. This is part of our job description. And brethren, please, let all of us understand, as believers, we have received a call from God to watchfulness, to prayer, and wisdom. Go with me again. We've started, and this is the first verses we read, but go with me to Galatians 6. But I'm going to start up in verse 1. Galatians 6 and verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. What do you mean it's not our responsibility to sow so that others could reap what we have sown? Well, of course it is. We're looking out for everyone. That's what it says. Verse 2. Bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. This is the context of these verses. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting, or eternal life. Please understand, we're going to reap what we sow. Everyone does. We also need to understand we have been called so others might receive what God desires for them. So as we prepare for the Passover and the Days of Unleavened Bread, the Spring Holy Days onto Pentecost, we need to be asking ourselves, are we doing our part in sowing so others will receive what has been sown? The Aaronic blessing. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his son, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Brethren, we are so blessed. We receive so much. And we're to be doing all that we can that others can also receive what it is we have received. God bless you all and happy Sabbath.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org, or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.